unless you followed up with I can't even remember the song to Dixie. Y'all know y'all made me a Yankee, and I don't even know it. I can't even remember the words to Dixie. But the radio stations always signed off. They would play Dixie first, and then you would hear Elvis singing the trilogy. And my eyes have seen the glorious part of that. So I always bring that up so that people will know kind of my historical background. But it's a good thing that we do get to celebrate and we do get to proclaim glory, hallelujah, because God alone has granted us not only a political independence, but a spiritual independence. And believe me, brothers and sisters, that is what is most important. We're going to be in Romans 8, 1 through 14, which we have read over and over and over again in our course as Christians. But each time we read it, I really believe, do we understand what this is telling us? Do we understand the majesty and the beauty of our freedom in Christ from this world, from the evil that is promoted in this world, from the horrors of depending on man to make the moral decisions? Folks, you look at history and you will see people saying, oh, it's because of God in church that all these evil things. Folks, the people that have done the most evil in this world throughout history has been either false believers or non-believers. True believers just want to enjoy the beauty of knowing Jesus, of living in our faith and having the ability to worship you, worship Him. 247 years ago, our country was founded by declaring a social and political independence from the United Kingdom. Now, before we get into that, I want to go back into a time of prayer, because I want us to have the Holy Spirit open our hearts to this truth this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we can proclaim your truth. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will not only move among your people, but will open the hearts, the minds, and the ears to receive the truth of this morning. That if we're in Christ, there is no condemnation, there's no judgment. And that we are free by the Spirit from the law of enslavement to sin. Lord, let that sink into us. Let that permeate our hearts and our minds. Lord, remove me from this and let your Spirit do all the speaking. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, back 247 years ago, our nation, back then only a little sliver of colonies along the eastern seaboard, was in the middle of a 7-year war for our liberty against the British Crown. This war was essentially won in 1783 at a place called Yorktown, Virginia. It was won by General Washington over a fellow by the name of Lord Cornwallis. Even though sporadic fights continued after that time, we were essentially free from the influence and control of the crown over our national business and even over our personal rights. You see, one of the founding things that our country believed was that each individual was responsible for his action, not because he was born into a certain class, not because he was some rank of nobility, not because he had friends at court, but because he was an individual being a good citizen in a free state, a free country. And we like this, but yet our true independence was never really won. Now, how can I say that? Yes, the political part was won, but ourselves, we never became truly dependent on a different crown. Sin steals us from away from our true kingdom. Brothers and sisters, it is something that we see every day. We cannot help but notice the things that are trying to pull us away from our citizenship in heaven. Our true King is Jesus Christ. That's why when we sing, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, do you know that is the actual, the tune is the national anthem for Great Britain? God Save the King, or God Save the Queen, depending on which era you lived in. But an American took it, and he changed it to Great God, Our King, which is more true than any other statement. Our true King is Jesus. He alone frees us from the slavery of sin and death, that dependence which we know from birth. We depend on the action of sin as slaves. All the evil villainy of iniquity permeates our lives when we are in this sinful state. We are not free. All you got to know is your scripture. You know, it tells us in 2 Corinthians that God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What does that mean? We are transferred from the kingdom of darkness. That means we are a kingdom. We are subjects to the kingdom of darkness. Until that time, we are made free by faith in Jesus Christ, who transfers us out of that kingdom into the kingdom of what? His glorious light. Then we can see when we were slaves. We can see the evil, and we can prepare for it. We are bound in bondage and darkness and to its wicked ways until that time that we are made free in Christ. Thus, true independence is foreign to us. We're not born understanding. Now, the world will tell you and they will give you a false independence. They will tell you, you are your own. When you're dead, you're nothing but worm dirt. You're on your own. You get to do whatever you want. As long as you die with the most toys you win, you can live any way you want to. It's up to you. Baloney. Brothers and sisters, when you are slave to a sin, you will do what sin tells you to do. When you are a slave to Christ, a servant of Christ, you will do as Christ commands you to do. And that's something we need to understand. You see, we as humans claim that we want no God nor man over us. But we always seem to submit ourselves to the tyranny of evil, of selfishness, of lust, of greed, of self-promotion and self-aggrandizement when we are called to become selfless, humble, loving, merciful, and obedient to the greatest good that exists, and that is, of course, God Almighty. Now, once we are in Jesus by grace through faith, then we can truly say that we are free from the bondage of sin and death. Now, hear now the word of the Lord through Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 14. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 14. Verses you've heard many times, but I want you to look at it today in your heart through the Spirit of God about the freedom that we have in Christ. Romans 8, 1 through 14. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let me repeat that because we need to understand that. The devil will tell you over and over, no, you still belong to me. You've got to do this. You're not free. No, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's not in some Bibles, but I believe that is important. That is in some of the oldest texts that we have. You are not in no condemnation if you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. What does that mean? If you're in the flesh, you're still sin. You're still slaves to sin. But if you're in the Spirit, you're doing the things of the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now remember, He had no sin. So it was only the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it's plain. God sent Christ to take on the punishment that we deserve. He became the likeness of flesh so that sin would be put on Him and He would take care of the sin. The law of the Spirit destroys the law of sin and death. Now, is the law bad? No, the law is not bad. Without the law, we wouldn't know what sin and death was. But Christ came to fulfill the law, and when He fulfilled the law, He completed all its requirements, and He set us free if we are in Him. Why is this? Well, verse 5 tells us, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, all you got to do is look around us to see that. Those that are carnally minded or fleshly centered, they don't care about the things of the Spirit. All they want is the here and the now, whatever pleasure, whatever benefit, whatever material goods we can get, we want it right now. And I don't care about church, I don't care about God, I don't care about Jesus, I don't care about you. I want what I want. They are not walking in the Spirit. But brothers and sisters, we can't blame them because we were the same way. We were blinded by the God of this age, who is the now God, little g. When God points us not only to the now, but to the future, because He is with us. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed it can be. So then they are in the flesh, cannot please God." Brothers and sisters, again, it's simple. Those that are fleshly minded cannot please God. Now, it says the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Now, that's a little bit complicated. Because when you are in your sin, you don't want to obey God. So your carnal mind is put at enmity with God. Because the book of James tells us that to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And that's what people want, because that's all they're surrounded by is the world. They have influences of their friends, of social media. Guys, I have been almost sick to my stomach listening to the advertisements on the radio for that concert they're going to be having here in a couple of weeks. Now, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. They got this modern pop singer by the name of Swift, I'll leave it at that, who's having a concert. And you got, and believe me, brothers and sisters, I don't say this lightly, you've got people paying $5,000, $6,000 for a ticket to go stand in the middle of a show and see some girl shake her rear end at them. Now, when I was 16 or 17, I might have been interested in that, but I'm not now. Why? Because my mind is not set on things of the flesh. I would not take that girl home to mama. Might take her checkbook, but that's another story. Brothers and sisters, we as humans will give up paying our bills, going into debt to make our teenage girl happy, to take her to a concert or some other foolishness, when we are throwing away the greatest gift that there ever was, when we are for the world. Now, folks, don't misunderstand me. You like music, you want to go see a concert, that's fine. No problem. I've been to many of them. But when you're paying $6,000 a ticket for a two-hour show, you're a few jacks short of a deck. Now, I would have people tell me, well, I'm telling you, my daughter likes it and I want to make her happy and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Let her go out and cut yards and earn her own money. You're going to take it out of her college fund? You're going to take it out of the bill money that you owe? Many people do. And again, that's what I'm talking about, the foolishness of the world, the carnal-minded flesh. They don't care about the things of God. And so their mind is not subject to the law of God, which means they're not obedient. But they can't be in that state. So again, it reemphasizes, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Moving on. Verse 9, talking to believers. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. That means when you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now we're going to stop it there. That whole chapter goes on to rip modern society a new ear. Okay, Paul demolishes. Because folks, remember, sin is not original. The stuff they're doing now, they did back then. They might have hid it better, but they still did it. And Paul's telling us that if we are in the flesh, in the Spirit, we have the Spirit of God. And if we have the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will give us life. In the King James, it says that it will quicken us. So we are not debtors, not to the flesh. What has the flesh done for you? What did that singer, any other entertainer, what have they done for you? Giving you a smile for 20 minutes? Okay. You know, there's things that I have in life that I take pleasure in. I love good walks. I love watching the sun come up. I love watching the sun go down. I like sitting and holding hands with my loved ones. I like going camping. I like going fishing. I like doing all these kind of things that give me pleasure. But those are things that you can enjoy. But if they ever became an idol to me, where I put that above everything else, that would be sinful. And that's what the world wants us to do. You can put anything above God, and the world's okay with you. Anything above the God of the Bible. You can even have a different God, and the world's okay with it. But if you have a God of the Bible, then you're the problem, according to the world. But we do know what God promises. And He promises right there. It says, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. If you live in sin and iniquity, you will die. You will not only die physically, but you will die spiritually and die eternally. Now let's clear something up right now. When you die eternally, that does not mean you cease to exist. You will know, you will hear, you will feel, you will smell, you will have everything that you have now, except you will be in a state of eternal separation from God, in torment. A lot of folks leave off that last part now because, well, hell doesn't preach for a girl. That was just something that's made up by the church Middle Ages to scare people into being good churchgoers. Brothers and sisters, Jesus taught more about hell than He taught about other things because He didn't want people to go there. Hell was compared to a valley outside of Jerusalem. I believe the name was Gehenna, where they burned all the trash and the Romans burned dead bodies and all this stuff. And it was a smoldering, burning, stinking place. And that was the closest thing they could get to what they imagined hell would be. And Jesus taught about it. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are a son of God. You are an heir of Christ. You do not have anything to do with it. You are with God in glory forever, doing what He has chosen for you to do. You are free in Christ. Now let's look at these verses again. Paul begins by proclaiming the freedom found by those who are in Christ Jesus. But the caveat is that those who walk in the Spirit are those who have no condemnation. We've already covered that to great extent. But I wanted to reemphasize that those who by faith belong to Christ are the ones who are free from such interdependence. Not independence, interdependence upon sin. You sin because that's all you know how to do. As I've stated last Sunday and several Sundays before, you do not have to teach a child that it's wrong to do something. They just do it. They hit their brother with a stick. They steal from the cookie jar. Whatever. We may think it's cute, but folks, it's sin. And they need to be taught to do what's right. That is an indication automatically that all those you born carry that. You will have some people, I'm going to give you a $5 theology word here. They're called Pelagians. And Pelagians believe that you are born a blank slate and that you only lean towards sin. No, the Bible tells us you are born carrying the sin of Adam. And we'll debate that some other time. Let's go back to verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And it talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus freed us from slavery to sin. We were bound. We even sang about it this morning. We were bound to sin. Not only bound to as in we are probably going to, but bound as in physically chained to sin. And it takes something to break the chains. What is that something? Or rather, should I say, who is that someone? That someone is Jesus Christ. And He frees us. Jesus granted us our independence from self. We no longer have to look at ourselves as the most important person in the world. He declared that we are His through His own righteousness and His own work on the cross, where He condemned such sin in His own human flesh, His real human flesh. The Bible tells us that if we deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that we're none of His. And that word that in the Greek that is used for flesh literally means sacrificial flesh. He came to be the propitiation for our sin. Why? Because God loved us. Well, what, any God that would send His own Son to die for somebody else's sin, that's ridiculous. Brothers and sisters, no. That's the only way. There is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And whose blood was perfect in order that the sins of the world could be forgiven? That is Jesus Christ. No one else. No good teacher. No moral code of learning. No systematic theology. The blood of Christ is what frees us from our own sin and our own human flesh. Thus, His righteousness, His liberty was placed on those who believe on His name. That's John 3:16. You know it. We are free by the law of the Spirit of life. How do I know that? Because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. You see, back in the old days, 1500s, 1600s, in order to see the king, you had to be a freeman. You couldn't be bound under indentured servitude. You couldn't be someone else's hired servant. You had to be a freeman or a noble. But doesn't our status as the sons and daughters of God make us noble? If we are daughters and sons of the King of Kings, then we have a right standing to go before the throne. We are free. And we're free indeed to go before the very throne of God to see our dad, our father, and our brother, Jesus Christ. We are free. And again, why? And we go back to verse 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Brothers and sisters, look around us today. Those that are thinking upon only their flesh all the time, they are bound by that. That's all they think about. That's all they want to do. That's all they want to make other people do. But if you are free in Christ, you are free to have life and peace. Yes, you have life through His blood, and you have peace because Jesus gives us the peace that passes all understanding. The world cannot know it, but we do. So even in the midst of fighting the world, and brothers and sisters, every one of us in here know this, we have to fight the world over many things, over our own lives, over the lives of our children and the lives of our grandchildren, over the things we see, the things we hear. Brothers and sisters, we have to fight, and it's a scrap. But I'm going to tell you, it's just like when, don't ask me how I know this, when you get in a scrap and you're small in high school, and you got these bullies ready to whoop up on you, ready to give you a swirly. How many knows what that is? And all of a sudden, they look up and they run away. And you don't know what's going on. You turn around and one of your big friends, one of your big 6'5" high school offensive linemen weighs 300 pounds and ain't an ounce of fat on him, standing behind you looking mean. You see, that's what we have in a way. We have the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham wrote of a story one time that there was this lady, and it was on his book of angels. If you ever read that, you will probably remember this story. But he said there was this little lady who owned a bodega in New York. And she came in one day, and some of the local street corner thugs were there, and they wanted protection money from her. And she said, "I don't have it." And she said, "Well, next time we come, you're going to have it." And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And so the next week, they came back in, and they kind of looked around, and they milled around, and they kept looking at her, and then all of them left the store. And she happened to run into them. Again, the next week, one man came back from that group, and he apologized. And he said, "Ma'am, we're sorry we did this. We won't bother you again." And she said, "Y'all came in here. What stopped you?" He said, "It wasn't you, ma'am. It was those three big dudes standing behind you. And they've been bothering us ever since to leave you alone." Now, folks, God doesn't do that in every case. There are some times when you take a stand from faith, you give up your life as a martyr. Happens all over the world. But sometimes He does. And we pray that the big dudes that are the angels that God assigns to us to protect us, to watch over us, Doesn't mean we worship Him. It doesn't mean we pray to Him. It doesn't mean we talk to Him. We go through God always. But He does occasionally do that. And there ain't no force in this universe that will contrary that. If you don't believe me, let's go. I'm going to go to the end of Romans chapter 8. It says, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing that's ever been made, nothing that ever will be made, nothing that exists now, wherever it exists, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." That is independence. That is being free from the garbage of this world. For those who are not in Jesus, who choose to remain in the yoke of slavery to sin itself, are centered on their own flesh. Thus they are dead in their sins and trespasses, and it breaks our hearts. Because we have people we love and we care about that have fallen into this yoke of slavery. And we need to keep praying, we need to keep loving, but we do not need to give approval of whatever choices they make, whether it be an immoral lifestyle, whether it be robbing a bank, whether it be gossiping, whether it be drugs, whatever it is, we can still love them without giving acknowledgement and approval of their actions. Well, how does this look? You're just calling a spade a spade. This is a sin. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And at some point, God will intervene one way or the other. You see, brothers and sisters, sin is the whole reason God put His wrath on Jesus Christ so that we could be saved. And folks, sometimes it takes a hard situation in life to pull us close to Him. I've said many times, sometimes God will tap us on the shoulder with His finger. Sometimes God will call out our name, and sometimes God takes a 2x6 upside our heads. And sometimes that's what's necessary. We don't like it, we don't want it, but sometimes that's what is necessary. Because when we are centered on our own flesh, we are dead in our sins and trespasses. We cannot save ourselves from the wrath of God, but there is one who will, does, and willingly does, because He loves us. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ. And all those who trust Him, who believe on Him, will please God by their faith. To have this mindset gives us true freedom and true peace, our true independence from the slavery of sin and death. Verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Therefore we who are of faith in Christ Jesus have His Spirit dwelling within us." Now folks, when the Holy Spirit indwells you, lots of things can happen. Some things are a little bit more extravagant than others. Now, before we go any further, I'm not talking about jumping over pews and swinging from the chandeliers and gibberish. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit giving you the courage to make the right stand, giving you a fierceness to stand with your King against the wickedness that this world throws at you all the time. It gives you the ability to say, "I love you. But this is why this choice is wrong." It gives you the ability to say hallelujah when all is falling apart around you. It gives you the ability when the doctor comes and says, "I'm sorry," to say, "Doc, you're just sending me to where I've always wanted to go." We have no reason to be afraid when we have the Holy Spirit, whether that be the person or the family or whatever. It is a wonderful thing to have that Spirit with us. Because folks, when the world without the Spirit faces those kind of things, what happens? They fall apart. They fall apart. They don't know what to do. We know what to do. We know where to go. We know who to talk to. We know who to ask. Doesn't mean He's always going to give every person the same answer. It means He gives the answer according to His will. Because while we are independent from the world, we are ever so dependent on the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And folks, I wouldn't have it any other way, because He can do things I can't do. He can do things you can't do. And He certainly does things the world don't want to do, because He loves us and He stands with us for eternity. That's the key. This is not a worldly, temporary thing. Folks, we live to be 100 years old. That's a blessing. If we live to be 35 years old in Christ and past, that's a blessing. But you can live to be 120, and this is the only heaven you're ever going to have. Boy, what a poor excuse for heaven, if you reject Christ. But if you are in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit in you, however old you live, wherever you go, whatever you do, He is with you and you are blessed. Why does it take funerals for us to understand that? We need to understand it now, while we have the ability to influence and to love and to be merciful and to forgive. Why? Because in verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." He gives you life not only in eternity, but He gives you life right now. The ability to enjoy what time God has given you. The ability to be blessed with family and friends and jobs and whatever He's blessed you with. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." We already know that. "But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." That means you're concentrating on the flesh and not the body. We are now debtors to Him who has raised us up to be with Him in eternal glory and eternal life. The Word of God is clear, folks. If we remain in sin, in our flesh, then we will die and face judgment. Why? Because it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You don't get no second or third go around. You got whole religious systems that teach you die here. If you're good, you get reincarnated. If you're bad, you get a step down. You may end up a hound dog or you may end up a king. Folks, that's nonsense. Each human soul is appointed once to die and then the judgment. But if you are in Christ, there is now co-condemnation. There is now no judgment for them that are in Christ Jesus. And we can hang on to that with tooth and nail, no matter what the world says, no matter what lies it promises, no matter what how it makes you feel, calls you names, whatever it may be, tells you you're a coward, tells you you're silly, tells you you're stupid for believing that sense, it's all bumpkus. That's a fancy word I learned when I was young, bumpkus. Brothers and sisters, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. To reject God is to remain in our own sinful selves and thus face eternal slavery and separation from Jesus Christ. Yet if we are His, if we have His Holy Spirit within us, if we believe on Him who He has sent, then we are led by the Spirit of God. Thus, we are children of God. Every one of us in here that is saved in faith by Christ, by grace through faith in Christ, we are children of God. Think about that for a second. Do you want to be the children of this world? I don't. You know why? Because the world ends. The world ends when we die. The world ends eventually at judgment. God's going to reshape the world, not by water, but fire this time. But when we are in Christ, we are eternal sons and daughters of God. That should at least get a hallelujah. And if we are children of God, we are heirs to the promise. We are free as children of God. The truth of Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. We are free indeed. We are truly independent from the fleshly world, and we are free in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, sometimes that makes us question, well, if we're dependent on Christ, are we free in Christ? Yes, we are. Because Christ wants the good. He wants us to be reconciled to the Father. He wants us to be free to live and to love and to be merciful and to forgive and to do all the things that God wants us to do. He does not want us to be slaves to sin. And when He sets us free, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are dependent upon the grace and mercy of God, yes. But this is a true freedom compared to the slavery that is living in sin. Now, brothers and sisters, I want us to recognize that truth this morning of freedom in Jesus. We are free to love and forgive, as we said, where the world tells us to hate and revenge ourselves. If they don't agree with us, then let's burn down their building. Let's spray paint their building. Let's go in and make threatening calls. Let's gather in front of their house. Brother, there's pastors this very day that have to go through that just to get to church because they've made a stand. And it doesn't matter the issue. If they don't get you on one, they'll come around and get you on another. But you see, we are free to celebrate real love instead of sinful iniquity that passes itself off as love. We are granted the gift of eternal life instead of being bound in slavery to eternal death. Thus, we can celebrate real independence from this wicked world and proclaim freedom for the captives that are within it. Let us celebrate a year of jubilee, not just one day of independence, but a year of jubilee where we are free from our situation as slaves. And we are free to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let us celebrate when we realize our freedom comes from and will never be taken back because of Jesus Christ. Didn't we just read where there was nothing that ever was made, ever will be made, or it exists now that can separate us from the love of God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord? Folks, we believe the Bible. We believe all the Bible. That included. Jesus Christ is our true King. Let us praise His name forever and ever and enjoy the true independence that He gives us as sons and daughters of God Almighty. Praise Him. Now, brothers and sisters, it's very, very plain. You're not free unless you're free in Christ. Oh, you can have wealth and not have to work. You can have all the material goods that you'll ever need. You can have all the pleasures of the world that it affords you. But you are not free unless you're free in Christ. I beg you this morning not to let another day pass without you being sure of your freedom in Christ. The Bible tells us to, and I'm going to say this, it's going to sound a little different than it actually means, to work out our salvation. What that means is to establish in our hearts the assurance of our faith in Jesus Christ. Not in ourselves. We can never be good enough. We can never be rich enough. We can never be anything enough to be made right with God on our own. There's only one intermediary between man and God, and that is the man Jesus Christ. And it is our faith in Him that establishes our declaration of independence from this world, from the crown of evil. Remember, Lucifer is the god of this world, little g. God has given him that authority. But you know what? That authority is limited. That authority is very, very limited. All the devil can do to us as believers is tempt us. We have the Holy Spirit, which will not only help us in our times of temptation, but will give us the assurance that we are and always will be truly independent and children of Almighty God.